Okay. Says the Gemara. If I recall correctly, I think we're up to the Gemara. At the bottom of Lama Gimel and Beis, we finished the Mishnah. Tanur Avadim. Arve Nachal. What does Nachal mean? Hagadelim al Hanachal. Right? Which grow near a river. Davar Acher. Arve Nachal. She'ala Shalom Mashach Kenachal. That the leaf is long, right? Rivers are obviously long as opposed to lakes, which are sort of roundish. The leaf is long as opposed to roundish. This is obviously coming to exclude a tzavtva we'll mention later. We see from the Gemara later, you know, why do you need to exclude a tzavtva? I mean, you don't need to exclude apple trees and oak trees and pear trees. Because we see later on that the names change at a certain point between Arava and Tzavtzifa, and it seems to be that even nowadays, like in I think in Arabic, Tzavtzifa means Arava, and Arava means Tzavtzifa. I mean, I don't know how to pronounce it with the right accent. So apparently these names were very confused, and they were considered botanically, I'm not sure if we have any biologists here who can help me out. Almost all scholars agree that Arava is the genus Salix, which is willows. There's a million different kinds of willows, as we see the Gemara discusses. But almost all historians and scholars agree that Arava is willows, and Tzavtzifa is the genus Populus, which is poplars, P-O-P-L-A-R, which are, I don't know anything about anything. Obviously, they're similar to willow trees. How do I know? Because they're both in, they used to be, until like 20 years ago, in the same family. There was like a Salicaceae family, which only included poplars and willows. And then they like reclassified and made different, you know, but at least, you know, this is really beyond my pay scale. But at the very least, traditionally, until they made new discoveries based on DNA, etc., there was like one family who had two genuses in it, one of which was poplars and one of which was willows, and that seems to correspond to Arav and Tzavtzifa. So Arav and Tzavtzifa are obviously similar in many ways, even though someone actually lives with them all the time, or scientists who study them can tell you more. But they're obviously very similar, and their names are confused. So therefore, there was the only thing there was a Havamina. The post can actually point out, you can find random trees that have the three signs later on, the Gemara says. But they're obviously not what the Talmud is talking about, because they're not Aravos. But within Aravos, it's unclear exactly how broad to define Aravos. You know, just the Salix genus, just certain species of the Salix genus, there's, but most scholars agree, it's all that genus, or maybe the genus of poplars, populus also. And therefore, we have to exclude because the main difference, if anyone's seen willow trees and poplar trees, one of the main differences between the willow trees and the poplar trees is the leaf. The willow leaf is shaped like this, and the poplar leaf, this is not only that it's science, I'm even worse at Yetzirah, but it's shaped something like, or like this. You know. This is good. I can use the same drawings whether I'm teaching halachas of our rebels or I'm teaching Kol Halik al Kapav and Parsha Shmini. But clearly these differences are in Moshe Kanachal, and clearly Chazal are trying to exclude her a tzavtzifa. Okay, Tanya Idach, Arve Nachal Ein Leila Arve Nachal. Starts almost the same way. We only know Arve Nachal, the Korona Nachal. Shel Baal v'shel Harim Inayin. How do we know Shel Baal v'shel Harim? Okay, we learn Arve Nachal Mikol Makom. There's a strange Rabbeinu Manoach who seems to say that, you know, maybe we're Marva ones that don't grow on a river because the word Nachal in Chumash doesn't always mean a river. It could have said Mayim, and Nachal means a wadi, which is a valley. And maybe that's part of the drush of Chazal. So Rabbeinu Manoach says maybe the word Nachal implies it doesn't have to grow on water, but that's a das yachid. Everyone else in the entire world assumes no. Arve mikol makom is miloshon rabim. Since there's a loshon rabim of arve, that means two kinds. So the kinds that grow on the Nachal and the kinds that don't grow on the Nachal. That's the mainstream shot against the Rabbeinu Manoach. And Abba Shaul says arve shayin achzulu vachlumich mikdashi darshan the Lush and Robin differently as two kinds of Aravos, one for the Lulav and one for the Mikdash. Okay, obviously we're all thinking there's a third way to darshan Lush and Robin, relevant to our lives, which is to Aravos, right? Maisa b'chol shana. But we'll come back to that in a moment. Okay, first, there's just a big chiddush of Rashi here. Before we get on to the bigger problems, Tosfos is raised. The problem is there seems to be a stira. The first brisa says, Arvei nachal gedil alachal. That's pretty black and white. Second brisa says, you might think it's only gedil alachal, but of course, kamashalan, it's even harim or baal. So how do we resolve the stira between two brises in a row? The Gemara is not even bothered by the fact, seemingly, there's a steer between them. So how do you resolve this steer? To the best of my knowledge, there are two ways to. Brisa Aleph, only Yudelem al Hanachal versus Brisa Bet, which is Afilu Shel Baal Shel Harim. Shel Baal, by the way, meaning a watered field. A field that you have to water, which is as opposed to a nachal, which has a river running through it that waters it. Okay,
Rebbe?
Yeah?
Rashi says, Baal karka she'inat tzricha l'hashkot.
Okay, sorry, I apologize. But I rather, so Baal is one that lives off rainwater, as opposed to gets watered from a nachal, I apologize. Right, Rashi also says, why is it called Baal? Because it is more, not the word settled, it's probably better from Yushav, more settled, more built up, you know, it's better land because it gets from the rainwater. Okay, there's many different pshatim as to why it's called Baal. Some of the scholars have different pshatim. But the Ra'ah has actually a very nice mark why it's called Baal. He also based it Kiyaval Bachor Basula, but he says the rain is Boel Makarka. Now, obviously, the rain doesn't put Zera in the Karka. The farmer puts Zera in the Karka. It's one of 39 Malachos. But the rain puts its koach into the Karka, which causes a certain smicha, and he considers that a kind of Be'ila. So either it's called Baal because it's really nice and settled and built up and useful land. Because it rains, or maybe the rain is Boel the Karka, or many other pshatim. Anyway, Lamaisa, how do we deal with this stira? Okay, I think there are only two ways of dealing with stira. Obviously, what's the obvious way to deal with the stira? Two brises, the trivial way? It's a machlokas, right? Now, we can have many different pshatim, why? But one derech is, right, which is all the Rishonim, except for Rashi. Obviously, only the Rishonim would talk about it. The Rishonim will talk about it, I don't know what they hold. But all the Rishonim except for Rashi say it is a machlokes. Okay, it's a machlokes. If it's a machlokes, what's a machlokes? Right, one manda amar is marbe, one manda amar is not marbe. Okay, what does Rashi say? Exactly, Rashi is a big kiddusher, lechatchila versus b'diavad. There's no machlokes between them. Rashi says there's no machlokes. Lechatchila versus b'diavad. One brisa is saying lechatchila ni nachal mamish. Why? Because it says nachal. The other brisa is saying b'diavad you yotze with baal and harin. It says arve. After all, why is it arve and nachal? If it just needed to be on the nachal, it would have said arav nachal. If it just needed to be anything, it would have just said arabos. Why is it arve nachal? To teach you, there's a lechatchila level and there is a b'diavad level.
There's a third way. It's a definition. It's not it's
okay, but.
You have other places like that where you talk about
okay.
Carbon pathos has to be with his kares.
Okay, you are right. Okay, you're absolutely right. I for reasons that we'll see in a moment, I don't have Rishonim who go that way, but you're absolutely right. Let's just finish. Rashi says Lechatchila and the Eved, well, Morty is suggesting, and there's a technical reason we show them aren't going to say exactly that way, but you're saying there's no machlokas. Gedel al nachal means this type of species that generally grows on a nachal, and arve means it doesn't have to literally grow on a nachal. Okay, you could say there's no machlokas, and this just means you need the species that generally grows on the Nachal, but here it means the specimen, right? That's the opposite of the species, right? The specific tree, right? The specific tree, this specific tree, doesn't have to grow on a Nachal, meaning the first brisa never meant, you need literally Nachal, the first brisa just meant that you need the type of species that grows on a Nachal. When it says Gdelim on a Nachal, it doesn't mean this particular tree has to grow on a Nachal, it just means it has to be for the kind of trees that usually grow on a Nachal. And then it would be similar to the brisa on Lamed Aleph, which says, Arvei Nachal Gdelos on a Nachal Pratlet Safzifah. Gidelos on a Nachal doesn't mean you have to check if this one grows on a river. It just means it has to be a willow, which generally grows on rivers, as opposed to a poplar, which generally does not grow on rivers.
I don't know what that's. At the beginning, it says it needs to specifically grow on the Nachal, and then at the end, it says it does not have to specifically grow on the Nachal.
No, we're reinterpreting the first price. It doesn't mean it has to specifically grow on the Nachal. It just means it has to be the species that generally grows on a Nachal. Okay, now... With this in hand, let us, we're going to come back to this machlokus in a moment.
The first verse is discussing how Nachal relates to Arve, right? Meaning what makes the Arava Arava of Nachal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The second verse agrees to that, right?
You're disagreeing with the pshat I just said. Right, what you're saying is the first verse is discussing whether Nachal means rivers or Nachal means long leaves. If Nachal does mean rivers, then what do you do with it? Then the second brisa says it doesn't need to dafka grow by river. Then what did the first brisa mean by rivers? Either Rashi, l'chachila, or it's just identifying the species. Meaning the 2 days of the first brisa are the same thing. How do I identify that it's a willow, not a poplar? Either because willows generally grow by the river, even though some of them grow all places, and poplars generally don't grow by the river, even though no doubt some of them do, coincidentally. Or willows have long leaves and poplars have round leaves. Okay, now let's deal with Tosa's problem. Tosa says, the Bryce says, Arvei Nachal Mikol Makom. Right, we have 3 deos. We have 3 deos. Why Arvei is plural? The Tanakhama says, Arvei Nachal, plural to include Baal and Harim. Avishal says, plural to include B'mikdash. Remember, besides the Arava and the Lulav, they used to take an Arava in the Beis HaMikdash every day, separately, and as a zecher of that, on Hoshana Rabbah, we take an Arava separately. And of course, there's a third opinion because on Lama Dalam and Beis, what is Rabbi Shmuel Darshan from Arvei Nachal that you need 2 arevos, which is the simple pshat. So the Gemara says, for Rabban on the Mikdash, how did Rabban know there's an Arev in the Mikdash? If they use up Arvei for Shalbal Shalharim, how do they know there's an Arev in the Mikdash? The answer is Hilchazah Gemira Lahu for the Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Amr, and we're not just making that up. That's a real Masorah. The Amr, we really know that anyway. The Amr of Asim Yochanan, Esther and Tiyas Rav Nishchamayim, Halacha Moshe Misinai. These 3 things were mentioned as Halacha Moshe Misinai, Esther and Tiyas, that if you have 10 young trees, you can plow a Beit Sa'ah for them on Erev Shvias, against Tosefta Shvias, up till the minute Shvias starts. And Arava, you have to take a separate Arava in the Beit Samikdash, and Nishchamayim also is not before Shem Psukim, but normally we only libate wine in the Beis HaMikdash, but on Sukkos, we also bring Nisach HaMayim. Okay. The Tosos here brings up the troubling question, which is, if you can only use Arvei for one thing, then, first of all, how do we know you can only use Arvei for one thing? Because the Gemara says, the Chachamim can't use Arvei for Mikdash. So likewise, Abishol can't use Arvei for Baal and Harim. Okay, that doesn't bother us so much, because Abishol is Abishol. We don't hold like Abishol. The problem is, we passed like Rabbi Yishmael. That Arvei means 2 arevos. We all know. Ma'isim Chayom. We all take 2 arevos, right? So if Arvei means 2 arevos, then it's not available for Mikdash, which is fine. We have Halacha Moshe Misinai. We passed like Rabbi Yassi, Rabbi Yochanan, but it's not available for Baal and Harim. If it's not available for Baal and Harim, then we can't use Baal and Harim. The problem is, Ma'isim Chayom, Jews have always used Baal and Harim. That is the problem. Okay, that is Tosa's question. Tosa's the Maskel Verabanan, right? The question is, we use Arvei for 2 aravos So, shel bal v'shel harim is pasul. Why is that a question? That's a question because we all know that's never been the minhag. Tosfos actually doesn't say it as a question. Tosfos says, "Ulufizet certainly zarsh l'litala rav lulav elukin gedela al hanachal." Okay, that is a. Tosfos doesn't say it as a question, but Tosfos says in a chanami. But none of the other Rishonim accepted this, even the other verses of Tosos. They said, this is too crazy. We all know for hundreds and hundreds of years we've been taking Shel Baal v'Shel Harim. Can't be. So, how else would you answer this? How else would you answer this question? What? So what do most Rishonim say? Most Rishonim say, let's go back to this machlokis. What is this machlokis? Al pi Tosfos, and the, and I think the Ran goes this way as well, although they don't say it quite that explicitly. But give me half a second. It's a machlokis. What's the machlokis? 1.1. This is al pi Tosfos v'Ran. The machlokas is this Manda Omar says Shel Baal v'Shel Harim is pasul. This Manda Omar says Shel Baal v'Shel Harim is kosher. Right? And that's what Tosos. Now, Tosos doesn't say I'm going back to the first brisa, but obviously what does Tosos assume? It's a machlokas Tanaim. Abba Shol and Rabbi Yishmael hold that. Shel Baal Shel Harim is pasul. The Tanakama holds that Shel Baal Shel Harim is kosher. Mistami, go back to the first brisa, right? Putting two and two together in a very simple way. That's probably Abba Shol or Rabbi Yishmael. Because if we know there's a Tana, Mistami is the brisa. So they don't say it. But Shel Baal Shel Harim is pasul. Who is this? This is Abba Shol or Rabbi Yishmael. You have two Tanas, old Shel Baal Shel Harim is pasul. So Mastama, one of them wrote that first brisa, it's pasul. And then the question is just which brisa do we paskin like? Right? Which brisa do we paskin like? So, Psak Halacha, Tosos says, very surprisingly, Shitas Yachid says, pasul. Because we hold like Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, what does the Ran say here? The Ran is a clever way out of this. He basically agrees with Tosos, says, Takat's machlokes tanaim about Shel Baal Shel Harim being kosher or pasul. Tak, I agree with that.
You can darshan both.
But that's the end of the Ran. What does the Ran say at the beginning of the Ran? I apologize. The Ran at the beginning of the Ran. What does the Ran say? The Ran says, "But taka we paskin you only need one arava, so it's okay." Mishmael chazerbo. He says, you know, it could be in the end we pass, we don't need two aravos. Ah, doesn't Yishmael say you need two aravos? Yeah, but we see in Lama Galen and Bezer Yishmael was chozerbo, and maybe part of his being chozerbo was that you only need one aravos. So you could take the same as Tosos. You have to choose either two aravos or Mikdash or Shel Baal Shel Harim. Mikdash, we take a look at Moshe Sinai. Either two aravos or Baal V'Harim. So Tosos says we pick two aravos. There's no Hector Baal v'Harim. The Ran says, no, Taka, maybe we pick Baal and Harim and you don't need two Aravos. Ah, how could you not need two Aravos? Doesn't say in the Mishnah that you need two Aravos. Yeah, but the Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel changed his mind, and maybe he changed his mind. Now, the Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel changed his mind about which species?
Hadassim.
But maybe he also changed his mind about Aravot. Yeah. Could be, right? Okay, then that would solve the problem. Right, where is this in the beginning of the Ran? Sorry, I have a different page of Ran here. But I thought so. Let me check. Avalafaneinu nichtov odas acheres shaposkin k'rav Yekiva d'sagi v'hadas echav v'arava achas ulfizeh poshli arvei lasuye shel baal v'shel harb. We're going to pass like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, he doesn't mention Chazor Shel Yishmael. He just says we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, he points out that the reason we pass like Rabbi Akiva is because Hoda Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Akiva. Okay, but you're right. Technically, here he says like Rabbi Akiva. Chazar bo upasak kirabbi Akiva. Right? So if we pass it, again, that's against our practice, right? Everyone knows since we grew up, we've got two hour levels. If you need one Rabbi, you solve the problem. So the Ran has another solution to the problem. In the beginning of his word, it says the Ran, Taimalon, Deba'inan, Rak, Arava, Achas, Ve'arve, Lerabos, Shelbaal, Vishelharim. Okay. The. What, however, do most Rishonim say? How do most Rishonim answer this question? How do most Rishonim answer this question? Who are most Rishonim? The Rush, the Ra'ah, the Ritva. Okay, all the Rishonim assume the Rif and the Rambam also say this, although they don't get into it so much. What does the Rush say? Right, I put the Rush here. What does the Rush say? Exactly. The Rush says definition. He says, the Rush says definition, but here it's a little tricky. Because what Morty said last time is that, the Riboy teaches us you only need the definition of the species that grows on a Nachal. You don't mean the actual one that grows on a Nachal. But that Riboy is not available to us. So here says the Rush and the Ritva and others they say it is a Machlokas. But it's a different kind of Machlokas. This Machlokas holds that Shel Baal, Vishel Harim is kosher without a reboy. The first Braisa holds it's kosher without a reboy. Why? Because we know Misvara that Nachal just means the species that generally grows on a Nachal. The first Braisa says we know Misvara that Nachal means a species that grows on a Nachal, not that this particular tree has to grow on the Nachal. Therefore, you don't need a reboy. The second Braisa, the second Braisa says that no, that you need a reboy for Shelbaal Vishelharim. Meaning, according to this, there's no machlokes in din between the Braisos. But there is a machlokes. The first Braisa says you're machshir Baal and Harim without a reboy. Not like Morty was saying. You're machshir Baal and Harim without a reboy. It's the same as this, but without a reboy. You're machshir Baal and Harim without a reboy because misvara shel nachal just means a plant that usually grows on a nachal. Second Bryce says, no. Shel nachal would mean on a river mash. However, we have a reboy to be marve Baal and Harim, but they get to the same place, just one with a reboy, without a reboy. So says the Rush, very simple. We paskin, like first Bryce, that shel Baal vishel Harim is kosher without a reboy. Oh, the second brisa was before you need a reboy. That's the second brisa. But we pass it like the first brisa. Shalom al Yisrael. Excuse me, sorry. Okay, the fourth answer is, or the fourth opinion, really, three answers in one Eichnam, is the Ran Besof Tvarev. Right? The Ran Besof Tvarev gives a different answer. What does he say?
Conversion both.
He says that you can darshan both to Aravos and Shelbaal v'Shelharim from one word Arve. You're allowed to darshan two things from one word. You thought you weren't allowed to darshan two things from one word. Kamashwan, you are allowed to darshan two things from one word. Okay, the rules of whether you can darshan two things from one word or not, we're not going to get into now, but what's the obvious difficulty in this run, just based on what we read? The Gemara says that you can't darshan two things from one word, right? That's why everyone was bothered. If not for that line, notice Tosas. Tosas is not going on the line of the Bryce. He's going for Rabbanan, the Mikdash Menolahu. So it says,
I would have said taka. Maybe you could darshan two things, but the Gemara assumes you can't darshan two things because the Gemara says the Rabbanan have no mokar for mikdash and need to pull out halacha mosh misina out of their back pocket. So the Gemara says you can't darshan two things. How can the Ran say you can't darshan two things? So that's why no one else gave this answer, right? So you have to, I think, add one thing. It's a little tricky. The Gemara is mefurish you can't darshan two things, and yet the Ran thinks you can darshan two things. So I think you have to say it's a little dachuk. You have to say no. It depends which two things. What's the difference between darshan shalbal and shalharim, and darshan two aravos, and darshaning mikdash? Which of those two one drush is different than the others? Why is mikdash different than the others? Because the first two are details of the mitzvah. Arvei nachal, exactly what kind of trees and exactly how many. Mikdash, is that a detail of the mitzvah? L'kach malchem b'yom rishon? That's a new mitzvah, right? Arav of mikdash is a new mitzvah. Again, I'm not talking about how to count it, but it's a new thing. It's not l'kach malchem, you have to take b'yom rishon priyat other kapos from an episode of arvei nachal. Okay, we need to know exactly what kind of tree is arvei nachal and exactly how many branches of arvei nachal. That's details. Mikdash is totally different. You don't take it with a lulav and hadassah and hadassah and esrog. It's a separate ritual, and therefore that's an entirely new din. So what you have to say is that you can't darshan a new mitzvah plus a detail of the original mitzvah, and that's what the Gemara meant. You can't darshan mikdash and shalbal shalharim, but you can darshan two details of the original mitzvah. I think that's what you have to say to defend the Ran. This is a chiddush. It's a chiddush. You can darshan two things from one pasuk in the first place. And even if you can darshan two things from one pasuk, then he says, well, you can darshan two things that are details of the mitzvah we're talking about, but you can't darshan a new mitzvah. And that's why the Gemara makes sense. Okay, but that's the pasuk of the Ran.
No, I agree that he has this other business about counting the words. It's Arvei Nachal is two.
Oh, yeah?
At the beginning of the Ran. That's what he...
My Ran? Let's see. I could be wrong. I could be misunderstanding the Ran. If not, I saw this svar in the Eliyahu Rabbah on the Shulchan Aruch.
Did the Eliyahu Rabbah mark have an off?
No. But let's see where this... Sorry, I just... One second. I apologize. Where are you reading in the Ran?
He's counting the words.
Aha, you're trying to make a new answer. Like one is for the plural and one is for the number of words. That gets a little tricky, because then why is kapos marin two? I'm not sure. Arvei shtayim doesn't have to be two words. Arvei shtayim could mean just lashon rabim. I hear what you're saying. What you're saying, it's funny, that's not in this part of the Ran. This part of the Ran is not saying that. What you're saying is could be that we darshan the two from two words. After all, hadas would be three from three
and
words.
And for luluf also.
Yeah, but then we're not talking about
the
words. We'll leave that a little bit. Tzarech Iyun. What? Yeah, okay, let's leave that with Tzarech Iyun. Anyway, Kitzer, let's just summarize now. We have four deos in the end. How do we darshan Baal Shal Harim? Tosos thinks we don't darshan Baal and Harim, Mishminitz are on it. The Ran says we darshan Baal and Harim from Arvei, and we don't darshan two from Arvei, and you only need one, which is not our sock. The Rush says no. You darshan Arvei for two Aravos, and you don't need a drusha for Baal and Harim, because we don't like the first Braisa, which never thought you needed one that grew in a river, and thought from the beginning Misvara without a Rivoy, it only means the type that grows on a river. And then we have the Ran in the end, who says, you can darshan two things from Arvei. He changes his mind. He says, and now that I get to the end, I'm going to say that Taka, I better answer that question, that you're allowed to darshan two things from Arvei, and I'm adding, and this is the Eliyahu Rabbah says this pshat, that you can darshan two things from Arvei as long as they're details and not new mitzvos. Okay, halacha lemaisa. What are we paskin? Halacha lemaisa, according to Tosfos, you need something that mamish grows on a river, even liikuva. According to Rashi, you need something that grows on a river, lechatchila. According to everyone else, there's no inyan whatsoever. Interestingly, the Taz says it's a big, I don't know what people do nowadays, but I don't know, when I was a kid, even very firm people were not makpid to get ones that grew on the nachal. The Taz writes that he sees that even very firm people are not makpid to get ones that grow on the nachal. So that's it. What?
Here they have Yerushalmi, they get the nachal and Motza.
From Motza. Yeah, the Yerushalmi always got from Motza historically, apparently.
The nachal.
Yeah. So, the question is, should you be machmir to get from a nachal? I'm sure the Mahadra nowadays are machmir to get from a nachal. In Europe, the minhag always was not to be machmir to get from a nachal. It's unclear why, meaning so it's Shitas Yachid of Rashi and Tosfos. You know, why weren't we Mahadra for that? After all, Rashi and Tosfos are not like obscure books that no one ever heard of. So that the Taz actually writes in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, we don't take from the Nachal because we want to show the Halacha. And since the Halacha is against Rashi and Tosfos, and to show that Shad and Arvei Nachal is just the species that generally grows on a Nachal, we don't go and look for ones in a Nachal just to clearly teach the Halacha. Okay, the Aruch Laner and his Pirish Bikur Yaakov and Shulchan Aruch questions that. He's like, but lots of times we're machmir against the accepted Shad Halacha, and we don't worry about that. So he wants to say differently. He says, no, normally it would be machmir against the accepted psak halacha. However, in this case, it could lead to a churban, because people will read Arvei Nachal, and they'll see a rabbi checking and making sure he goes to a nachal, and they'll think your only yotzeh grows on a nachal, and then next year, when they're someplace not near a nachal, they won't bother to shake the arba minim. And therefore, he says, because we're afraid of misunderstanding, therefore, we're not medaktik on it. Anyway, halacha l'maisa, the minhag in Europe was not to be medaktik. To and get davka from a nachal, even though I'm sure nowadays there are mahadrim.
How do you think Rashi learned, like, on this
side? Oh, how did Rashi answer the question from Abba Shaul? It's a great question. Meaning he didn't. He's kind clearly of... did not learn like the Rush. He clearly did not learn like the Rush. He I'd be reluctant to say he holds like this, Ron, just because I have no mucker for that. That's a big chiddush, so you only need one Rava.
Where he glean? Okay, I don't understand. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
It seems to be a big chiddush. I don't know, maybe he'll like this answer the round. I don't know, it's a good question. I know he doesn't say. Okay, Viter. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan Arbe Chezka. No, I'm okay. Tana Rabbanan Arbe Nachal Gidothal Nachal Prat Lit Saftvak Deilu Bino Harim. Right? This works very well for Morty's pshat, or for the Russian, everyone else's pshat. So you have gedela la nachal. What does that exclude? It excludes a tzavtzafa that grows in the harim. Seemingly, it's talking about what species it is and where it generally grows, not where this particular thing grows. Amar zayir mikra. What's the pasuk? Kachal ma'im radim tzavtzafa samu. Or Yechezkel is talking about the tocha, about all the bad things. Klal Yisrael, he says, it was planted by Mayim Rabim, but then he made it a tzavtzafa. Turned out a tzavtzafa. So therefore we see that tzavtzafa, well, what exactly do we see? It's interesting, Rashi says, what do we see here? That, what are we trying to prove? My craw. What is the craw proving? That tzavtzafa is? Is pasol. Well, it's not talking about arba minim. That tzavtzafa is not an arava, it's a bad other species, right? It's some bad other species, not an arava. Rashi says, after all, we have a drasha mikol makom. Rashi obviously thinks we hold from the drasha mikol makom. We have a drasha of mikol makom. one second. Yeah, Rashi says we have a drasha of mikol makom. How do we know maybe mikol makom should be marbet tzavtzafa also? How do we know how far to take mikol makom? So you see from here that tzavtzafa is a bad thing. That's not a normal variation of arava, and therefore we're not going to include it. I would have said much more simply, and I think I saw this in the matter of the Rishash. What's the simple pshat? Rashi says it teaches great usa, right? My credit tzavtzafa the great usa v'lav minu arava. Tzavtzafa is a bad thing and not a normal variation of arava. What would you have said, Mai the Krah? This proves what? That tzavtzafa?
Not a
Yeah, it's I mean, that's what Rashi's saying. It's not an aerobics, it's a bad thing. What would you have said this proved? You wouldn't have had a simpler pshat in this Gemara? Just plus a pshat. I'm not going to make any lumdus out of it. That what does this prove? I would have said...
Safsfat doesn't grow on water.
Exactly. This proves that safsfat doesn't grow on water, no? That's what the Rashi says. After all, why are you suing safsfat? Because it doesn't grow on water. How do we know it doesn't grow on water? Because kachal mayim rabim, but safsfat samo. It was supposed to be al mayim rabim, and it turned out that it's the opposite. It was a safsfat. So you see, safsfat is the opposite of something that grows on mayim rabim, and safsfat grows far from the water. Okay, you can take it however you want. The Rashi says this is a krah that safsfat does not grow on water. Rashi says just a krah that safsfat is bad, and if it's bad, then
we don't
it's
need something that grows on water.
What?
Hmm?
You don't eat something?
Need in the end. You don't need something that grows on Mayim Rabim.
No, we need the species that grows on Mayim Rabim generally. We just don't need this particular tree to grow on Mayim Rabim. Okay, so again, yeah?
Yep. How does one deal with the two Rashis? Is a Rashi Tzaf Tzafa on Lamed Gimel on Bet?
Yeah.
Where he says Min Arava, and then on Lamed Dalet Amid Aleph he says Lo Min Arava.
Yeah, that is a tricky one. The Rambam is very clear. According to the Rambam, is it Tzafta Min Arava or is it not? Anyone notice?
No.
The Rambam's Lashon is exceedingly clear. He said what?
Did he say like
Yesh Min Acher? Yesh Min Acher. Okay, Rashi says that Tzafta is just not an Arava.
Can't those two questions answer each other? That the idea that really it's the same species. However, Rashi therefore has to account for. Like, you can't say the Buzik teaching is a different species, because it really is the same species. So rather, you have to say the Buzik teaching you, yeah, but this one is negative. This is a bad aspect. That
right, but Rashi does add the Lashon of...
What do you mean? It's not the min to take for Arava. It's not the min to take for Mitzvah.
The lo mina da Arava.
The previous time he's talking about the min botanically.
Right, okay. Bedochak, I don't have anything better to say. The previous Amadi saying that, you know, Misvara, it seems like the min of Arava. But from the pasuk we deduce that it's not the kind of arava the Torah told you to take. It's still a little dachuk. I wish I could do better there. It is an interesting question of what is a tzaftzifa. Is a tzaftzifa not an arava, or is it an arava? Sula, right? The Rambam seems pretty clear that it is not an Arava. He says it's min acher. Rashi on Lamed Gimel of Beis seems pretty clear that it is a kind of Arava. It's just not the right kind of Arava, right? Because Rashi says min Arava. However, Rashi on Lamed Aleph and Aleph does say Ma'ikra ditzashul agri usa velo mina da Arava he dinirbi me'arbe mikol makom. But again, if I had to choose which take daf, which take lav daf, I can't promise you. Notice this. We're not going to be marv from Arve Mikol Makom. Why would we be marv from Arve Mikol Makom? Because it's an Arava Taka. It's just not Arve Nachal. So we want to know, is it Arava or is that Arve Nachal? So I think here that Rashi would be saying it is an Arava. Lamed Gimel of Beis. And that's a Rashi Lamed Dalet Amid Aleph also meant that it is Arava, but it's not Arve Nachal. And that's it. Like, didn't mean literally Lav Min Arava. It's just not the kind of Arava the Torah wants you to take. That's what Chesky is trying to say. It's a little tricky. If, in fact, there is a machlok, so the Tzafka is a type of Arava or not, actually, interestingly, what's strange in the Tosefta? What does the Tosefta say? Ezu Tzaf. What's a Tzaftzafa? Alut Shala Asuya Kimasa. Right, more is going to say later on. Right, if it's jagged like a saw, a zohar of a ksheira. I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself in the Gemara. Kana shala adam, right, and ola shala mashal, right, or aruch. And a zohar of a psula if the kana is yarok and the ola is adam. So it's interesting. It says what's a tzaftzifa if it has jagged kamasar. What's an aroma psula? If it has a white stem or round leaves. Why does it separate between tzaftzifa and aroma psula? So the Gra rewrites the Gerson and say no. It just meant what's a tzaftzifa? If it's kamasar and kane
Lavan and Oleh Ugel. And Watson Arava, if it is the opposite, same as in the Bible. But that's not what our Tosefta says. If Shalom calls our Tosefta like an Tosefta, so obviously that's something with yours.
But either way you read it, it both sounds like Tosefta is not an Arava at all.
Exactly. What I think of the Tosefta might be saying is that there's Tzvedinim, right? Maybe the Tosefta would say, there's Beis Dinim. There's something called a Tzavtzva and a Rav Psula. If Tzavtzva is different than a Rav Psula, it must be because a Rav Psula is an Arava that's possible, and Tzavtzva is not an Arava, as Yonatan. So there is Tzavtzva, which is Kimasar, and then there is something called a Rav Psula, which is Kanelavan V'Ale Ugol. It could be there's two different kinds of things. There's the kind of thing that's kamasar, and that's safsva, that's not an arava. Then the kind of thing that's not kamasar, but it has a white stem and round leaves, and that is an arava, but an arava psula, because it doesn't meet the requirements, l'chora of arvei nacha. L'chora. Okay, what could be the nafkamina of this chakir about safsva? Probably nothing. 99.99% there's no nafkamina whatsoever. Just an interesting question. Maybe a nafkamina could be the discussion of prima gadim of... Maybe you could say, but this is a big stretch. How about on Yontif Sheni for Sfartim? Could you take a Tzavtzva? After all, it's an Arav, it's just an Arvei Nachal. It's just a little tricky because if it's not Arvei Nachal, then, you know, maybe you shouldn't even take it on Yontif Sheni. It's not what the Torah talked about. But if you say that Nachal is just like a Tznai, maybe even if it doesn't meet the Tznai, it's Kasher Yontif Sheni, it's a big stretch. Basically, it's going to be hard to find a good nafkamina. Putting nafkaminas, I'm really going to get in trouble. Maybe you could say there's two nafkaminas, both of which are crazy. Just at least one of them is in the acronym. One nafkamina is you could say, if it's not an arava, it's not an arava. It's like taking a, remember the chavash or the rimon. If it's an arava that's pasul, because it doesn't meet the tnai of nachal, then maybe you could take it on yontif sheni, or maybe you could take it shasad chak. Even though I think it's unlikely, because you should at least need what the pasuk says, Arvei Nachal. It's not like missing Hadar, right? Well, it's Prima Gadim suggests a nafkamina. Says, what if all you have is a tzavtzva, but it grows on a river? He says, if a tzavtzva is not an arava, then don't bother to take it. If it's an arava, but a pasul arava, then maybe it's kosher lefi tosos. Because tosos says you don't need the kind that generally grows on a nachal. You need a specific one that grows on a nachal. And this one specifically grows on a nachal, so you should take it without a bracha, be yotzei tosfos, and then all the achronim jumped on the prima gadim. So probably no nafkamina.
But you use the language of arava plus psula. Once you use that language, it puts it in everything else where they say the yom tovshani, all the psulim except for this and that are okay.
Right, okay. So the nafkamina is that maybe, I'll put the nafkamina, maybe, here it's, you never take it. If it's not an arava, then it's just nothing to talk about. Meaning, you might as well take, you know, whatever it is. Apparently, there was like, there was some kibbutz once, the early days of the state, that they used to take eucalyptus branches for sukkahs because they knew a little bit of halacha, and the eucalyptus branches, taka, have long leaves that are smooth and have a red stem. So they said, great, so this is what it means. And they just didn't realize. No, that's only if it's an arava. If it's a totally different species, then nothing to talk about. Okay, so then, tzavtzva is a totally different species, never even just take it. But maybe you would take it b'yontif sheni, or b'shas hanchak, or would be kosher lefi tosfos. Because if tosfos says we don't care what kind of species it is, meaning within that family of salicae, we just care if it grows on a nachal or not. Maybe kashal vitosfos im gadel al nachal. Okay, that's the prima gadim, tremendous chiddush, but I'm not getting into this too much because it's really a far out. I mean, it's a valid question, but the nafkaminas are, to make a nafkamina would be far out. Because I would have said, if it's not an arava or if it's not an arvei nachal, either way, it's not what the pasuk says, and it's not just like a regular psul.
Also, is it obvious that Tosfos doesn't care about species, isn't it? Just because Tosfos is extra marked that not just the species, but even the specific one, doesn't mean it's not necessarily...
No, I wouldn't say he doesn't care what species is and we'd let you take eucalyptus. I just mean that he might not care what species it is within that family. Mm-hmm. You know, which includes poplars and... within that family whose names in every Semitic language are 50-50, which is which. So then he wouldn't care.
you know, within the family of things that in some Semitic languages are called Arava. Okay, continuing the Gemara. Amar li Abaye. Abaye says, how do you know tzaftafa is a bad thing, is the opposite of growing on water? Demo prush kama farish, kachamayim rab, my new tzaftafa. No, maybe it's a good thing. Ah, it's kachamayim rab, which is tzaftafa. No, in came my summa. Then it wouldn't have said summa. If it says kachamayim rab, tzaftafa, and tzaftafa would be good. Kachamayim rab, mar vinachal. Since it says summa, that means it was changed from what was expected. It's the opposite. Amir Rav, Amir Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, just tangentially, we bring the drasha of what this pasuk means. Ani Amar Shu Yisrael Lefanai Kekocha Mayim Ravim. I said the Jews should be in front of me like that which was planted by Mayim Ravim, my new Arava, like an Arava. Vein Samu Atzvan Kid Tzaftzvan. They made themselves like a Tzaftzva Shebaharim instead. Okay, here it's a little unclear exactly what. Rabbi Abahu is adding here. It could be that he's adding the factor of, in the pshat, he's adding the factor of blame, that we're saying, that, which is really still pshat in the pasuk, you know, the lamaisa. Okay, I'll be pshat, it's going to be hard to figure out what Rabbi Abahu is saying. The Hashem said the Jews should be like an Arav. Hashem said the Jews should be like something your mind rabbim, and they made themselves like something not a mind rabbim. That's what the pasuk says. So tochah to the Jews. So what's Rabbi Yoav adding seems to be is arava versus tzaftafa. Okay, why is he adding arava versus tzaftafa? So again, I'll be lundus, I'll be pshuta shalmikra. I have nothing to say about Rabbi Yoav, but I'll be drash. Maybe you could say that he is somehow trying to tie in this pasuk to the idea I'll be drash, not I'll be halacha. That Arava is kosher and Tzaftzvah is pasul, and it has something to do with the it has something to do with the Mayim Rabim, and maybe you could say Alpi Drash for Rabbi Abahu's intention is that Ein Mayim Ela Torah, right? Mayim clearly Chazal say Ein Mayim Ela Torah, and Mayim in general represents, you know, clearly, I mean, for all over Tanakh as well as just looking up, Mayim is that which comes down from the heavens to us, right? Ultimately, right? Mayim is some sort of shefa from Hashem. It's not crazy to say it's a spiritual shefa, and that's why Chazal say, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. I wanted the Jews to be, I planted the Jews near the sources of Torah. I gave the Jews this opportunity of my Torah going to them, and they ignored it and became a tzaftzva, in which case, Alpi Dera Drush, one could say, what is the difference between an Arava and a tzaftzva? After all, remember the Arava is the Jew who has neither Torah nor mitzvos, right? But nonetheless, the Arava, the Jew, has neither Torah nor mitzvos, but is kachamayim rabin, but is planted by the water. Perhaps he has not achieved knowledge of Torah yet. Perhaps his study has been unsuccessful. Perhaps he has not achieved excellence of mitzvos now, but he is still planted near the source of Torah. He is still connected to the source of Torah, right? He is being watered by Torah. He just hasn't grown yet. As opposed to a tzaftzva, which is removed from the source, which is not being watered at all, and therefore, why is the Arava, you know, so precious, even though it has neither Torah or mitzvos? And it's neither Torah or mitzvos, but it's planted by the water. It still is connected to that source and can be influenced by that source. As opposed to a tzaftzva, which is, you know, a species that did not grow by the water at all, that has removed himself from the source. And maybe that's the difference, but I'm going to leave Drush for another time. What did Marsha say?
Almost exactly.
Great, okay, Baruch Shem Kivan to the Daskadon.
I thought that the Tzachzor is connected to the Hebrew word Litzavtzeif. To be little. So that was one of the thinkers for the Drosha.
Okay.
That Litzavtzeif, and therefore, and that fits in very well to for Tzachzor, or if it grows on a mouth, it doesn't matter as much. But there, that's the distinction.
But what does Tzavtzeif mean?
To make fun, belittle.
To belittle? Is that
not
Hebrew
also?
Tzavtzeif. Okay. Perhaps, okay, that would be a deeper level of Drosha. Okay, let's finish a little halacha. Okay, Baruch Shem Kivan Pila Das Gadol Marsha. Ika Demasi Lil Haikra Masnisa Kachal Mayim Ram Tzaftzva Samo Maskif La Rabbi Zeira Vadilma Prusha Kama First Kachal Mayim Rabim My New Tzaftzva Kain My Sorry Im Kain my summer. So some people say it's the same thing, just that of Rizera bringing the pasuk and Abaye asking, so the price brought the pasuk and Rizera asked. Why? Rava has three signs. It has a red stem and a long leaf and a smooth leaf edge. A smooth edge of the leaf. Tzavtzva is kanash love and has a white stem and round and has a leaf that is serrated like a magol. And the old magol is a sickle, and a lot of pictures we see sickles are not serrated, but in the old days, many sickles were serrated. I assume sometimes they needed to, instead of just going like this, they also needed to go like this sometimes, so they just serrated the sickle. In the old days, as opposed to nowadays, pretty sure nowadays, people walk around with toolboxes, and they have a tool for each thing. In the old days, it was exceedingly common, meaning you can't really learn Caleb without encountering this every Monday and Thursday, that a lot of tools had more than one functionality in the same tool, just because materials were expensive and workmanship was expensive and whatever. People couldn't afford many tools. So apparently the magol had serrations in it, so it could also be used to saw of it, even though that's not the way you imagine them usually using the magol. And there, if it has serrations, then that's a lot of things are like it. You know, like you shouldn't make the Torah kardam lachborbo. But the Gemara says kardam bakabo kno, but you shouldn't dig with it. Isn't it kardam an axe, not a spade? If you lend it for an axe to your friend, if he chops with it, he's kona, if not, nah. Okay, so those who want to say you can make a lot of money off Torah, make a drasha. It's an axe. Just don't dig with the axe, but it's okay to chop with the axe. You know, you can make money off Torah as long as you're being realistic about it. But the simple shot is they have things which are an axe on one side and a spade on the other side. That's how they did their work. Okay, Viker. The Gemara says there are three signs. Ava, Tanya, Doma Lamagol, Kosher, Doma Lamasar, Pasol. But don't we say that if it's like a sickle, it is kosher? Only if it's like a saw, it's pasol. What's the difference between a sickle and a saw? So, Rashi says, a sickle has teeth that point in one direction, while a saw has basically teeth that point straight up, which is what he calls, going in both directions. Right? A sickle apparently would only cut in one direction, not in the other direction, because the teeth were, like that. While a saw is like our saws. The teeth are going sort of straight up, which means they hit you in both directions. We don't pass like Rashi. What do we pass like the Rambam? What does the Rambam say?
Many are
what?
Big and little.
Big and little, right? A magol has very small serrations because it's not meant for sawing wood. It's just once in a while if you need to add a little friction. While a saw has big serrations because it's meant for sawing big blocks of wood. So Rashi's direction. Rambam says size of the serrations. But either way, we see a magol is kosher. Amar Abaye Ketanei Hayi b'chilfa gila. That's talking about the chilfa gila. A chilfa gila had, we'll have to figure out what this means, was like a magol and kosher. What does that mean about everything we said until now? Let's go back to it in a second. Amar Abaye Shmami Nahai chilfa gila kosher lo shana. You see the chilfa gila is kosher. Pshita, is that obvious? No, ma'od heim ahol v'isl shen levai. Chilfa is arava. So it's arava gila. Maybe since it's not called a regular arava, it might be puzzle. Come ash malan, that even though it's called an arava something, it is still kosher, ima hachinami. Maybe it has to be called a regular rava. Arve nachal, we're going to be called makom. No, arve nachal means anything, even if it has a shem levai. Here's what the Ran said. We see you can make many drushes, because we make the drusha, we call makom. But others would say, no, this isn't a real drusha. It's just meant. It says arve nachal, meaning any kind of arava is a grona nachal. Okay, let's just go back for a second. The Gemara said that arava needed, Bryce said arava needed three signs. But now a chilfa gila doesn't have three signs. So how is it kosher if it doesn't have three signs? Chesky, I need your help. How is a chilfa gila kosher if it doesn't have the three signs of an arava?
How would you answer this? Okay, who's the cleverest answer to this? How would the Rebab answer this? Right, did I put this?
Yeah. What did the Rebab say? Big fish. Tremendous fish. Right?
just as the three signs are. One second, sorry. Three signs of Arava and Chilfagila. Says the Rebbe, I know this is Shigas Yachav, it's exceedingly clever. He says the three signs of an Arava are, right? Kana Adom, Ale Moshach, and Piha Chalak. And the Chilfagila has all three signs. After all, the Gemara says Pshita. Why is it Pshita if it doesn't have all three signs? And you have to go to Shem Levi to have a weird Havmin that's puzzled. Why not just say, no, we think it's puzzled. It doesn't have three signs. So he says it has all three signs. Isn't it Kamagol? Anyone? What does the Rebbe say? What? What does the Rebbe say? He says there are two different meanings of Kamagol. Kamagol meant serrated. But if I told you a sickle, what's the property of a sickle as opposed to a knife? What would you say? It's curved, right? He says, piachalak and not kimagol equals serrated. This is, it's smooth, but it is kimagol equals curved. It's not serrated at all. It's just, it was a misunderstanding. The Brisa said you need it to be smooth and not serrated like a magol. It said, is there another Brisa that says kamagol is kosher? No, that Brisa meant the other meaning of kamagol, meant curved is kosher. After all, this chilfagila has curved leaves. All our rubs have straight leaves. The chilfagila has a curved leaf. It's still straight, so it's just a misunderstanding. Right? We said serrated like a magol is pasul, and that Brisa said curved like a magol is kosher, and you misunderstood and thought it was talking about the same magol. Okay, that's one shot. The Rambam, I think, has a different shot. What do I think the Rambam has a different shot? There's not what the Nosek Hillel on the page say, although that's what all the later Akronim say. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that the Arvei Nachal have three signs. And then there's a Tzavtza, and that has Allah shalom ogol pivdom lamasar ve kana shalom eno adom. Aviyeshem in arava she'en pi Allah shalom chalak ve eno kamasar. It's not smooth and it's not like a saw. Eliyish bo klomim katan man ba'od. It has very, very small serrations. Kvo pi magol katan. Vezeh kosher. Okay. What is interesting about the Rambam? When the Rambam quotes the three signs of a tzavtzafa, what does he change? He doesn't say it's lavan and ugol and kamagol, he says kamasar. So maybe what the Rambam means is this. This is not what the Nosek Hillel say, but maybe what the Rambam means, what was unique about the Rambam is that he defined tzavtzafa as kamasar. Unlike the Brisa here, maybe what it means is you need kana adom, ale mashoch, piha chalak, and not kemasar equals big serrations. Maybe what the Gemara is doing is it's going back and defining. You know what we meant by chalak? You thought by chalak we meant as opposed to magal? Nah, by chalak we just meant as opposed to masar. This also has all three signs. It is almost smooth. Kimagol, which counts as chalak. I mean, that's what we're saying. What we're saying is that you thought kimagol was pasul. No, kimagol's not really pasul. The kimagol that's pasul is kamasar. The kimagol that's just small serrations is considered chalak. And kimagol, basically, what are we saying here? Here, kimagol in the first brisa, and kimagol in the second brisa, the Rivav would say, you totally misunderstood. This means serrated, and this means curved. He would say, no, this means kimasar, big serrations, And that's what kamago meant to the first brisa. And in the second brisa, it meant small serrations, which count as chalak. So maybe what I'm saying is we're reinterpreting the first brisa. When the first brisa apostle kamago, it never meant to say kamago. It really meant kamasar. Just the first brisa was saying smooth as opposed to mago. We thought it meant even small serrations are puzzled. We say, no, look at the chalfagila. Small serrations are fine. When that meant kamago, it really meant kamasar. Because after all, some magos had big serrations like a masar. Okay, that's what many achronim say pshat in the Rambam. The pashup shot in the Gemara is that you don't need all three, right? What does Tosos say? What's the chiddush of Tosos? Yeah?
Can I say something on the
Rebbe? Yeah.
When he interprets the
Isn't it a great Rebbe?
But when he, in the Brisa itself, the Brisa compares magal and masar, right? It says the magal is curved and masar is possible.
Magal means curved and masar means serrated.
Even though it's
Are you saying that's a dachah part of the Rav? Why are we comparing two unrelated things? Unless people heard the first brisa, were confused what the soul of magal meant. So the second brisa came and said, no, magal curved is fine. When we said magal is possible, we meant serrated like a masar. And then
right,
you have to assume something historical.
But still, the brisa is still weird.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. Anyway, Tosa says, you don't need all three simanim. Tosa is very clear. You don't need all three simanim. How many simanim do you need? How many simanim do you need? So, three signs of a Rava are Tana Adam, Ale Mashach, and Piha Cholok Mamish. But you don't need all three signs. So here it's unclear in Tosos, according to the Sfas Emes and others, Chilfagila has two of three signs, and even one sign is enough. Basically, according to Tosos, even one sign is enough. Right? The fika chatani sumanei tzavtzo, the meimer dav kahani, only if it has all three signs of a tzavtzo that's possible. If it has one sign, it's good enough. If it has two signs, that's more than good enough. According to Tosos, Lefi, who else did I put on the side on the side here? The Aruch Lener and others. And this is how most Achronim read Tosos. He says, no, the three signs are Kana Adol, Ale Mashach, and Piha Chalak Mamish. And he says, this only has two of the three signs. And these two are enough. Okay, these two signs are enough. Even though one sign wouldn't be enough. What Tosas meant is two signs are good enough, not necessarily any two signs, but at least these two signs. Okay, so halacha lemaisa, in the end, do you need all three signs or not? Rebav says you need all three signs, and it needs to be totally smooth, and a chalfagila is totally smooth. That's a little funny because almost all the species of Arav in Israel are not totally smooth. But maybe the Rebav didn't know that. The Rambam says, the way I'm reading him, says, you need the sign to be smooth and not kamaser. Maybe magal counts as smooth. And therefore, you need all three signs. It has all three signs because it's smooth like a magal. Tosas clearly says you don't need all three signs. Afshe'im bo gimel simonah ha'ilu. Why? Kigon chilfagila. Chilfagila proves you don't need all three signs. How many signs do you need? Sfasema says you need one of the three signs. And the Arthaner says, no. You don't need all three signs. These two signs are good enough. Okay, according to the Sfasema and the Arthaner, you then have to ask, well, even if it's kamaser, what's the problem? It still has two signs. So I think the Aruch Lener says, these two signs are good enough if it's not Kamasar. These two are enough. Bitnai She'eino Kamasar. Okay, two signs plus a Tanai that's related to the third sign are good enough. Tfas Emes thinks, mamish, any one sign is good enough. Then you have to ask, what's the problem if it is Kamasar? Right? What's so terrible if it's Kamasar? So then you're a little stuck. Either you have to say that that's a lack of hadar, which is a little strange to me. I don't know. Like, there's all different kinds of leaves, and all trees have different leaves, and they're all pretty in their own way. Or maybe you have to say that it's the dochak. I would say either the ones that are kamasar
also always have round leaves and white stems, and therefore they don't have any signs. Or you could say no. Kemasar is different. Any that's Kemasar is a different species. Legamre is not called an Arava at all, like the Tosefta, and is therefore out of the ballpark. Only if we're in the ballpark of things called an Arava, then one of these signs is good enough. Okay, so again, what's wrong with Kemasar? If one sign is good enough, either anything that's Kemasar didn't have the other signs, and that's just the species available, or Kemasar is a different psul, maybe based on Tosefta, that Kemasar is a different genus or family, different genus, Legamre, we're only talking within the Aravos. Continuing the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Yes. The Amr of Chesda, Hani Pas Mila, Shtana Shemayim, Kuchar, Beis HaMikdash, these three things, after the Churban, their people started changing their names, Chalafta, Aravta, Aravta, Chalafta, Arava and Chalafta, Mai Nefkamina, Le Lulav, right? Arava is Kashu Lulav, Chalafta, Saftva is not, Shippur, Chatzotzos, Chatzotzos, Shippur, Shofar, and Chatzotzos, and Chatzotzos, and Shofar. It's a little unclear exactly what was switched here. What's Chatzotzos? It could be that it means bent horns and straight horns, or some people actually say it means horns and animal horns and trumpets. But in any case, the Rashi says here, no, they're all animal horns. You're not going to switch the name of trumpets and animal horns. It just means straight horns and bent horns. My nafkamina, nafkamina, shofar roshana, because shofar roshana, we use bent ones. Ptorta, 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 big table, little table, little table, big table, my nafkamina, mekach, memkar, only for business. Amar Abaye, agav, there's a fundamental machlokas rishonim here. What does it mean these names were switched? What does Rashi say? It means they were mamish switched. A started to be called B, and B started to be called A. According to the Rabbein Hanan on the side here, and this is also very clear in the Aruch and a few other Gaonin, no, they weren't switched. They just both became called became called the same thing. Meaning they used to mean two different things, and now they mean the same thing. Like, used to mean Beikosos is one thing, and Ovlilo is something else. Now they both mean Beikosos. Like I said, Shofar hi chatzotzos, Torah hi patosos. So again, whether it means... what was this name switching? Does it mean it went like this? Or they both went to the same place. This is Rashi, this is Rach, and a few other Gaonim, right? Is that there's still two different things called the opposite names. So now they mean the same thing. That's Machlokas. Okay. Amar Abayifani, Omer Bekasi of Lilo, of Lilo Bekasi, two of the four stomachs of a cow. According to Rashi, the names are switched. So the rules of a needle that you find in the thickness of the wall of Beis HaKosos, it has different halachas of trefas and different stomachs. Amar Rabbi Yosef Amani, Omer, Bavel, Borsif, Borsif, Bavel. According to Rashi, they switch. Again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they didn't switch. He says, Borsif, he, Bavel. It's just the same place. According to Rashi, they switch, Borsif, Bavel, Nafkamina, forgotten. What are the two pshatim on Nafkamina, forgotten? Either Fani Nechtam, Fani Nechtam. If it's from Bavel, you don't have to say Fani Nechtam, Fani Nechtam. And if it's from Borsif, if you do, and now that got switched. Or Gittin Zav Davka just meant documents. It has to write where the guy lives. And you have to know that if the guy used to be called living in Bavel, he's now called living in Borsif. And he used to live in Borsif, he's now living in Bavel, and he didn't even move. Okay. Next Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Yes.
But when it comes to documents, what is the place in the name of the place changing?
Right. So I guess if like someone might have some very old records of where the person lived, they shouldn't be confused. Just means don't be confused if you have some old information of where they lived. Rabbi Shmuel, I mean, that's worth keeping your eyes out for, right? Even if they switched the name of someplace a long time ago, it's worth telling you what its old name was so you won't be confused if you see some old documents, right? Right, even nowadays, it would be useful to know that Istanbul is Constantinople, right? It wouldn't be useful to say that out loud if you're in Istanbul, but it would be useful to know.
There are stories of people also are born in Eastern Europe when the borders were changing, so they had to buy this. Interesting, where were they born?
Yes, and apparently a lot of people like to live in Istanbul because when you hear people read the Ksuvas, they often say, the farthest in the same of the Costa, which means they're going to support their wives if they live in Constantinople instead of Bukushna, with
reliably, honestly. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. That we're familiar with, that's how we paskin. We, I'm not saying all Rishonim, but we, us. Even if two of the Arav, two of the Adasim are ketumim, which Rashi says means the top is chopped off, and one is whole. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, even if all three are ketumim, it's okay. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, you only need one of each species. If you notice, in a lot of old coins and such, right, we still have coins in the Bar Kokhba rebellion, right, that he minted coins, and in the old days, the big symbol of Judaism, one of the big symbols of Judaism is still a big symbol of Judaism, the menorah. The other, the second biggest symbol of Judaism in the old days was Lulav and Esrog. So in the Bar Kokhba coins, they have a picture of Lulav and Esrog, and it only has one Hadas and one Harava, which makes a lot of sense, because we know that Bar Kokhba was close with Rabbi Akiva. So the Stama, he learned from Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam says Rabbi Akiva was his arms bearer. Okay, the Stama, he also asked him the Shilas. So Bar Kokhba, obviously, passed like Rabbi Akiva and had only one Hadas and one Arava. So we know that in certain historical periods, not surprisingly, the practice was in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, even though in our historical period, the practice is not in accordance with that. It may or may not be, depending who you ask. Tanya Rishmol Omer, Priyatadar Echad, Kapos Tmarim Echad. Okay, Priyatadar is one, Kapos Tmarim is, they hinted why it's one, because they write it Kapos Tmarim, so that's only one. Anaf Eitz Avot Shlosha Arve Nachal Shtayim. Okay, obviously everything here makes sense except for Anaf Eitz Avot, Arve Nachal Shtayim, because it's plural. And Chilas Kvod Morty. Priyatadar is singular, and Kapos Tmarim is written singular, even though it's read plural. How does Anaf Eitz Avot become three? Is a big mystery. What do Rashi and Tosfos and all the Rishonim say? How do we know you need three adasim?
Three words.
What? Because there's three words, right? So, mehechi tesi, three hadasim, Rashi, Tosfos, and other Rishonim say three words. Okay, here it gets very, very tricky for two reasons. Number one, since when do we say how many words there are, that's how many species you need? It's a funny drasha. Okay.
Didn't some other Rishon say that Avos was like two and then eight?
Yes, some other Rishon. No.
Not that.
If you want to read it, I did not read anyone that way. Anyway, if you could go back and look. Okay. Anyway, number one, it's a funny drasha just because the number of words. Okay, but that wouldn't bother me because you know what? For a certain perspective, I woke up in the morning, didn't know anything. All the drushas in Chazal are funny drushas, and they had their masora of rules about Adarshim, which I am not privy to, and I don't understand things the way they did. So if you really told me, no, they had a principle that the number of words is the number of branches you need, I would accept that, because I know that I don't have the masora they had as to have Adarshim in the Torah. The tricky part of what bothers all the Rishonim here is that we're not consistent about... After Arve Nachal would work, although I think it's coincidental, but Kapos Tmarim isn't two because it's two words, and Pri Yitzhadar isn't three because it's three words, which is what bothers Tosfos, right? At the end of Tosfos, this Tosfos is a little hard to read because he has two questions and he doesn't actually tell you, why he's comfortable with one before he goes to the other. But the second question, the name Pri Yitzhadar Shlosha. Right? It would actually, Tosfos, I would have written Tosfos backwards of how it's written, but logically it could still work, just you have to put in the right conjunctions, right? Tosfos says, Tema, don't we need this for Anaf Eitz, Shanaf of Chofenis Eitz? So we need Anaf Eitz Avos, right? Vidarshinami Eitz Avos Kalua. Remember, we need Anaf Eitz and Avos to exclude Dolva and Zesa and etc., right? So the Im Tomar, Venev Pi Yitzhadar Shlosha, and then why? Because if you'll say, why not need three asrogans for Yitzhadar? What?
The
Piskei Rit.
Isn't that why
you,
I thought that's
what
you put on the sheet.
I,
the
interpret them differently, but give me a second. Okay. Anyway, the problem is this. If we don't darshan three asrogans because we need pre-Yitzhadar to darshan the identity of the species, then of course we also need anafites avos to darshan the identity of the species. So how do we get three hadasim? So Tosfos, a little funny. I don't know if anyone's actually figured out Pshat in Tosfos. Like, is Tosfos actually answering? Like, the second question is fine. Why not say Priya Tartar? Three, actually, you need it for something else. But that just leaves the first question even worse. After all, you need Hadas for something else. As a matter of fact, the same something else by Esrog.
Just like by Esra, pre-Etadar is darshan for what species it is, and therefore not available for having three for three words. Hadas is also darshan for what species it is, and therefore not available for saying you need three for three words. So I really don't, a lot of Rishonim try to figure out, you didn't need all these three words. I don't know, it's before Shmura earlier, that you need anaf eitz avos. If you hadn't had anaf eitz, you wouldn't have known anaf of chofen eitz avos. If you hadn't had avos, you wouldn't have known avos. So I have a lot, Sarach Ion, and Tosos, he answers the Imtomer, which is the lesser question, but he never answers the Tema, the greater question. So it's a big Sarach Ion that we're not consistent about this by the other meaning. And it's fine to be Chazak and Dash, whatever they want, I trust them. But they have to be consistent. So it's a big Tzarech Ian. I really don't understand how this is consistent. I don't know if anyone solved this mystery. I really Tzarech Ian Mishar Minim. Right? Why don't we do this for the other Minim? I really have a lot of trouble figuring this out. And it's not just me who has trouble figuring it out. What makes me feel a little better, right? It always makes you, if you have a question, right? You always wonder. Like, maybe I have a question because I'm crazy and I'm stupid and I'm missing something. Or maybe it's talking a good question, right? Here we are. It's not only me. Excuse me. Who had this question? The Ramban, who in general is against Rabbi Shmuel. Anyway, the Ramban has an agenda. Not against Rabbi Shmuel, but against what Rabbi Shmuel said in the beginning here. Anyway, the Ramban reads the Yerushalmi is having this question. The Yerushalmi here said, the Lashon is, when they analyze Rabbi Shmuel, the Yerushalmi says, Yarbe imken yarbe b'shar minim, something like that, if you have the exact Lashon. If so, let Rabbi Shmuel also be marbe by other minim. There's many different interpretations of what it meant. The Ramban understands the Yerushalmi is asking this question. If so, if he darshins, where does he get three from? Obviously, three words. If each word is an instance, then you should need two aravos, fine, but two lulavim and three esrogim also. Like, why not be consistent? And then the answer was, Taka, Rabbi Shmuel never meant that. So, according to the Ramban, this is why the Yerushalmi rejects the simple pshat in Rabbi Shmuel, right? This is the Zo Koshyas HaYerushalmi Lefi Ramban. Now again, the Bavli does not ask this problem, Rabbi Shmuel. The Bavli does not say, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't make any sense because it can't be. He's inconsistent. The Bavli just says, oh, well, he must have changed his mind later because of the steer between his first sentence and his second sentence. Okay, so I don't know why it makes me feel a little better that according to the Ramban, the Yerushalmi asked this Kasha. The Bavli didn't ask this kasha. I was stunned that the Bavli had an answer up their sleeve. I wish I knew what the answer up their sleeve was. I'm sure there is one, because it's complex enough that there's got to be a good answer. I just don't know it.
Two possibilities. One is the fact that anaf is not as singular as priyas. You know, they're both singular, but anaf automatically has lots of other little branches on it, and especially if you, it depends how we're going to define an actual branch by anaf, which is upcoming, right, attractions. But, so it depends on that. But it's certainly viable thing. Anaf is like a whole lot of these branches, whereas a pre, you can't define a pre in any other way other than a single one. Therefore, there's no specific one.
Meaning, you could call three branches anaf because they could all like grow
in part of
branch.
A larger branch, as opposed to a pre can anaf.
Okay,
and
sure.
And another one is that the drushas are different. One of the drushas by the hadar is much more of a drusha, as opposed to by its avos is more of a definition of what the word an item actually is. Hadar is used for like something which is definitely not, but less.
How about creates?
Well, so then you have to get into the muffled Rishonim about, the muffled Sanav about as to which one's actually a drusha.
Ah.
At least you can say more.
You're saying that creates is more of a drusha?
Yeah.
It's a little funny. Creates is only one opinion that's on the page, but whatever.
Right.
We're stretching here. Creates is more of a drusha, anathates is more of a pashup shot. You're like darshan in addition to pashup shop, but not in addition to drushas.
Yeah.
Okay, the pre-eights versus anaf-eights is a big chiddush. Sure.
But I saw also that you're right about.
You must know the answer, Chaim.
Esrog and lulav each have a mute in them. That it's, instead of peros, it says pre. Pre means one, so you can't.
So instead of anfe, it says anaf. No.
I don't know. That's why I saw. And
I believe you saw it.
Lulav,
I just don't understand.
Instead of kapot, it's also one. So those two.
Okay, but why is pri instead of peiro more than anach instead of anfei?
I think it's
I don't know. There's no word on fei.
I think it has to do with the description. I mean, pri et hadar is the proper name of the fruit. Kapot marim is the proper name. Eitz avot anach are descriptive, and they're all adjectives.
And therefore, I'm not sure that helps us. Maybe that hurts us.
You can darshan them.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, we have a few suggestions. We'll think about it more. The Rid has a totally different shot. It's also quoting the Shmuel Aleket. He quotes it from the Rid. He says, Rid Yishaya. What's the Rid's shot? What I think is the Rid's shot. He says, and we remember what number avos means? The word avos, what number does it mean?
Three.
Three, right? Remember you need three leaves? So says the Rid, avos means three branches, just like it means three leaves.
Okay. He says it means three leaves, and then we just say that it means three branches.
I think that's the same thing as what I wrote.
It says three branches, that means three leaves.
No, just like. Leaves. Just like it means three leaves. We also darshan that means three branches. Ah, can we darshan two types of tripleness from avos? Avos, yes, avos means all kinds of tripleness. Right, avos means braiding. Braid requires three. And therefore, it has to be braided in every way possible. It's not literally braided. But number one, when you look at the leaves, they have to be three, which is the derek of braiding. And when you look at the stalks, you have to have three of them, the derek of braiding. Okay, it's also a little bit of a chiddush that we darshan avos to mean two types of avos. And not only one type of avos, but it doesn't have any inconsistency with the other minim. Okay, you can pick whichever pshat you like better. we're ready to move on. Says the Gemara, excuse me. Says the Gemara, V'afilu shnayim ketubim echshei, nukatam retarvan om shloshtam, shloshtam filu shloshtam ketubim. V'yakiva omer tshem shalulu v'echad v'esru v'echad, kach hadas echad v'arav v'achas. Amr lo Eliezer, Yachol Yehei, or Amr Eliezer, Esrog Imam Baguda, maybe the Esrog should be with them. Talmud Baguda Achas, Amr, Finem, or Priyatzad, Vikapos, Dwarm, Lunar, Elokapos, there's no Vav connecting them. And therefore, they are separate. Let's get back to that in a moment. Uminayish, Akman, Zetzet, Tamalom, Lukakner, Stay, Lukikatam, ahead of each other, you need all four. Because of the Lukikatam, you need a perfect Lukik. Rabbi Shmuel, Madashach, let's just first get the answer for Shmuel. Mimanavshach, how can you need one shalem and two ketumim? Mimanavshach, if you need shlemim, you should need all three. And if you don't need shlemim, you should need zero. Right? The Gemara doesn't think it's enough to have like one nice one and two not nice ones. Either they all have to be the same standards or they don't. You're right, Bar Yisrael changed his mind between his first half sentence and his second half sentence. He changed his mind. What did he change his mind? What did Bar Yisrael change his mind about?
Went from three to one.
So, who are you quoting?
Rashi.
Good. So says Rashi, and Rashi is far from the only one. The Ramban, and the Ritva, and the Rid, and the Ran, and the Ra'ah. Almost all Rishonim say this way. So Chazar Bo, Rabbi Yishmael said at first, and then later. At first he said you need three hadasim, and later he decided that one hadas is good enough. Right? And therefore, when he said, one can be shalom, the other two could be ketumim, he meant you can have one, and you don't really even need the others. The others can be puzzled because you don't really need them. Okay, do you need them at all? So the Ramban here says, no, it's still a nice hitter of the lulav. It's a noy lulav. Remember we said it was noy lulav to add hadasim? It's still a noy lulav to add some more hadasim, even if they're puzzled ones. But outside the hadasim, you don't need them. I mean, it's not a hitter at hadasim to have three. It's a hitter in the lulav to have extra hadasim to make the lulav look pretty. Right, so add the Ramban. Right, this is Rashi, Ramban, and Rov Rishonim. Right, as the Ramban, it's still a noy lulav to have three. But since you only have three for the noy lulav and not for the actual key of hadas, They don't eat with three kosher dasim. One kosher hadas, and then for noy lulav. Remember, the Rishonim used to have many banning hadas shulta also for noy lulav. Okay, that is the Rashi's pshat. What's the other's pshat? What's the Ravid's pshat? What's the Ravid and the Rilu Nil's pshat? What did he change his mind about? Exactly. At first, he thought that Katum is Pasul. And then he changed his mind and said Ketumim Sherim. And when he said you need one Katum and two, that even one Katum and two that's not Katum, he didn't really even need one Katum. He just meant they can all be non-katum, right? So really, what's really kosher? You really need hadas echad she'eino katum. Here, you really need shlosha hadasim va'afilu kulam ketumim. They can really all be katum. They can really all be katum. Right, he changed his mind. They can really all be katum, and you don't need and lav dafka. You don't even need one that is shalim. Okay, is there a third pshat?
You want to put the Rambam with those two
guys? The Rambam, I can't promise you what Rishmol held because we pass like very tarfon, so I can't promise you what Rishmol held according to the Rambam. Okay, is there a third pshat?
Yeah, it goes backwards.
Exactly. Right, who says that? The Shibboleth Leket and Rav Rami Nahar say,
yep.
Right, in his second day, the Shibboleth HaLeket Besof Devarav, and Rav Rami Nahar, although I didn't put that on the Makoros, they say he changed his mind the other way. What did he change his mind about? That.
Then, now they have to be, now I'll tell you the end one. They have to all be Shalem completely. That's the conclusion.
Exactly. At first is the Seifa that Afilu Shnayim Ketumim the Echad She'eno Katum, and the Maskana is that Ba'inan Gimel Shleimim. You need Gimel Shleimim, right? V'chazerbo Mi Sof Devarav b'mishnah. Okay, you need Gimel Shleimim. This is a big chiddush. That, in matter of fact, there's no kulas at all. Not that it was chazer between the Reisha and the Seifa. It was chazer between the Seifa and when he got to his senses and realized that they had a good kasha on him and he didn't make any sense. It's a little funny why he said something that didn't make any sense. So, here the mainstream shot is that it was chazer from the Reisha to the Seifa, from the Reisha to the, Seifa, or from the Seifa to Acharkach. Okay, so the main shot is that he was Chozerbo and only needed one, and why do you say two that are Katum? You don't really need this at all. Maybe it's a Noi Mitzvah, maybe he just said them Stam, because he was used to three. Or it could be that, says the, read this inside. I have a Rilu Nil here, I think. Is the Rilu Nil on the, did I put it on the sheet?
Yeah.
Okay, great. That was a different one. I'm sorry. I don't have a right. I have a little here. I should have a little note. Who says, if I can find it in a second. Does anyone have one of these books?
I don't think
so. Oh, it's not in here. Okay, forget that. Taka. Okay, fine. Now, let us go on to the most exciting part. Says the Gemara. He passed the Rabbi Tarfon. You do?
Or he threatens to pass the Rabbi Tarfon. He does Paskin or threatens, or that.
Did I put it on here, Bichlal?
What are you looking for?
No. Okay, let's leave it anyway. He said the halachah of Shimon, and he's l'shitase, because once when they raised the price of a dasim, sorry, the Pasa Lamper Tarfo, when they raised the price of Adasim, and they were charging a lot for Adasim that weren't Katam, he said, lower your prices, or meaning make your prices normal, or else I will go out and darshan like a retired phone, and then everyone will just find ones that aren't katam, and there'll be so many that I'll take I'll destroy the whole shuk, and then you'll make no money. If it just stopped here, it would be fine. Right? My time. Then the Gemara asks, my time. Elaim, why did he threaten a retired phone? Elaim, mishum de mekel, the liters look very kiva. If it's because very retired phone is more mekel, why didn't darshan like a retired kiva? They only needed one. The answer is, no, actually, Rav Tarfon is a bigger kula than Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
Why? Because to find three that are katam is more easy, it's more common than to find one that's not katam. Therefore, he darshined the biggest kula. Okay, he threatened, rather, the biggest kula. Now, just this is a very strange line. What does it mean? V'librish lehu k'Rabbi Akiva. He should darshan like Rabbi Akiva. The reason he darshan like Rav Tarfon is because he paskin that way. Why is the Gemara suggesting he should darshan like Rabbi Akiva? He doesn't paskin that way. Right?
He's threatening them. It's not based on reality. He's just threatening them. They don't really know what he's talking about.
Okay. Good. Okay, so here we have a fundamental machlok as we've shown him. First of all, as to how to read this this part of the Gemara. Right? In the end, is Shmuel Latame or is he not Latame? In the end, is he Latame or is he not Latame? What's Maskana of the Gemara? Right? Two very different ways of reading the Maskana of the Gemara. Chesky, I need your help. I apologize. According to Tosos, in the end, have we proven Shmuel Latame or not?
No.
According to Ramban and the Ritva, in the end, have we proven Shmuel Latame? Yeah. Yes. Okay, let's see the two ways of reading this Gemara.
Did you read
that? I thought they said that we already knew that.
In a chlam, but not Tosfos. Okay, first let's just make sure we know how to read this Gemara. Okay?
No.
So, first let's read the, and the Ron points out, and everyone, this might be a matter of Girsa. What's Maskan of our Gemara? How does Tosos read our Gemara of proof? How am I going to read this? The way Tosos reads our Gemara is that first they want to prove that Shmuel is, that prove Shmuel Latami. I mean, we know Shmuel Apostle Gary Tarfon. We also wanted to prove Apostle Gary Tarfon from the story. We have Masori Pasalei Gari Tarfon. We want to also prove Pasalei Gari Tarfon from the story. So, what is the proof? First we say, Amar Shmuel. Here is the proof that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Tarfon. What's the proof? The proof is from the Amar Lehu Shmuel until the Mekel Tve. What's our proof? Our proof is that
threaten them just a tiny
bit. I know what the Martin means. I'm just trying to figure out how to write it on the board. The Amar Lehu Shmuel until Kirabi Tarfo. And then until the Mako Tfe. And then Tlasa until Loshkiach. Okay, hopefully I can do this. Says Tosfos, and we all understand the Gemara, we're just classic, right? Says Tosfos, and who agrees with Tosfos on this Pshat in the Gemara, the Ran and the Meiri. Right.
and others. Tosos, Ran, Meiri. What are we saying? This is all one part. Proof that Shmuel Pasach Kirabi Tarfon is that he threatened Kirabi Tarfon, and there are two ways of understanding why he threatened Kirabi Tarfon. Either because he held that way, or because he was lying. Either because he held that way, or he didn't hold that way.
Yeah.
And if he held Kirabi Tarfon, then Nicha. If he didn't, then why didn't he threaten Kirabi Akiva? Right? This is all one question. My time, why did he threaten Larry Tarfon? If he held Larry Tarfon, Nicha. If he didn't hold Larry Tarfon, he was just threatening Stam, then he should have threatened like Rabbi Akiva. And the answer is no. This is the chia of the proof. Maybe he didn't hold like Rabbi Tarfon, but he threatened Davka to Rabbi Tarfon because that was the biggest kula. Rabbi Tarfon's a bigger kula than Rabbi Akiva. That's how Tosfos may read. In which case, the assumption is that the threat was not the Psak Halacha. Right? Meaning, what's the underlying assumption? That the threat is not necessarily Alpi Halacha. Right? The threat's not necessarily Alpi Halacha. Right? That's what they're saying. Why did he threaten like Rabbi Tarfon? Because he held like Rabbi Tarfon? Or just Stam? And if it's Stam, why didn't he pass like Rabbi Akiva? So it must be held like Rabbi Tarfon. The answer is no. He was threatening Stam. Oh, if he was threatening Stam, then why didn't he threaten like Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Tarfon's a bigger kula. However, the other, we read from the Ramban and others say, no, you don't lie. Right? You don't threaten Stam. Shmuel doesn't lie to people. He was really threatening how he paskins. Right? This is the opinion of the Ramban and the Ritva, and could be even most Rishonim, but we'll come back to it. The Ramban and the Ritva and others, they say no. This is the proof. This is the proof. Proof is if he threatened Kirabi Tarfon, he must hold Kirabi Tarfon. You don't lie, right? What's the underlying assumption is that you only threaten Alpi Halacha.
You only threaten true things. You could say, look, I'll tell people the true Halacha. You now are doing chumras, I'm going to tell them the true Halacha. You're allowed to threaten the true Halacha if people are doing chumras. Right? This was, and here they have to change the gears a little, not my taima, but this is a side question. What's the side question? Since we also paskin like Rabbi Akiva, why didn't he threaten Rabbi Akiva? And then the answer is because Rabbi Tarfon is the bigger kula. Okay, these are the two fundamentally different ways of reading our Gemara, two fundamentally different assumptions of what's going on. The way the Ramban reads our Gemara, the assumption is Shmuel's only telling the truth. No one lies. There's no lying going on here. If Shmuel threatened to pass like Shmuel, he holds like Shmuel, yes, end of proof. Then there's the side kasha. We also pass like Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
Which, how do we know? We somehow know, right?
We somehow know that we also pass like Rabbi Akiva. I'll come back to that in a moment. We also pass like Rabbi Akiva, so why do you threaten like Rabbi Akiva? If he's threatening true Shitas, Rabbi Akiva is also a true Shita. The answer is because Rabbi Tarfon is a bigger Kula, he wanted to threaten the bigger Kula. So it's the Tosos, which says, no, we thought we could prove he threatened like Shmuel because Shmuel is the truth. Because you could threaten the truth or a lie.
We thought he could
pass. Rabbi Tarfon, you could threaten the truth or a lie. We thought it must be Rabbi Tarfon is the truth because that's why he picked him and supposed to Rabbi Akiva. The answer is no. Maybe he was just lying and he threatened. The reason he picked Rabbi Tarfon is because it's the bigger Kula. Okay, so
Is Rabbi Tarfon Shita not a good threat because the prices would be astronomical? He needs Shalem, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon.
That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says exactly. If you threaten like
Rabbi Akiva. Is that a matter of Kula or is that just.
Correct. By Kula, I don't mean how luckily Kula, I mean financially Kula.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Is a bigger. I would say, let's say that. Because that was the biggest threat. Is that better?
Yeah.
Right. It's not a matter of Kula, bigger threat. Okay. Why Mehechi Tesa we should paskin like Rabbi Akiva? After all, why should we paskin like Rabbi Akiva? Why would the Gemara somehow know? Until now, all we know is Halach Ber Tarfon. Right? Why all of a sudden would we think we paskin like Rabbi Akiva? Why does the Gemara assume, according to this, that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva? So number one, it could be halachic Rabbi Akiva Michaveiro, after all, right? Halacha ki Rabbi Akiva Michaveiro, but there's even a better answer. According to most Rishonim, what's the better answer? What? But you have to just start one step earlier. Is it just Rabbi Akiva? What was like Rabbi Akiva? Remember, Yishmael was closer, bro. Right? Rabbi Yishmael Chazar Bo. Behiskim Rabbi Akiva. So now, it's Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Yishmael, are the Rabbin. Right? After all, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael are two out of the three Tanaim in our sugya. Not only that, the Ramban adds that it's not even clear anyone disagrees. Right? And Ramban adds, De'ulai af Rabbi Tarfon mode de'hadas echad saki v'nakat shloshtan Rak agav lishna de Rabbi Yishmael. It could be that there's actually no Tanarim left to hold you need only three. Hold you need three hadasim. Mm-hmm. Right? Because again, number one, we should pass like Rabbi Akiva, one hadas. Number two, Rabbi Yishmael changed his mind and agreed with Rabbi Akiva that there's only one hadas. And not only did Rabbi Yishmael change his mind and agree with Rabbi Akiva, it's not even clear that Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. After all, Rabbi Tarfon said even all three could be cut up. Did he dafka mean three, or was he just talking about three because the person before him was talking about three? He really just meant however many there are, they're cut up. I'm not getting into the number machlokas. I'm only getting into the cut up machlokas, right? Maybe he was only talking about the cut up machlokas, not the number machlokas. There are good reasons to think that we might paskin like that we might paskin like Rabbi Akiva.
But then if he's telling the truth, then Rob, how could he threaten like Rabbi Tarfon? If Rabbi Tarfon also closed their holds or Rabbi Akiva?
Aha, okay, so hold that thought for a second. What's the... give me half a second, okay? Now we just have to analyze for a moment each of these shitas. As long as we're in the Ramban, the Ramban and the Ritva, the Ramban has a big chiddush here, and I think it's very much based on Chazar Bo Rabbi Shmuel, right? If it was just Rabbi Akiva, then I don't know. Look, the Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Tarfon, maybe. We're not sure if Rabbi Tarfon was getting involved in the numbers machlokas, right? But number one, halacha Rabbi Akiva, and if Rabbi Shmuel agrees, he is the rabbin, and it's not even clear that Rabbi Tarfon disagreed, right? Maybe what he claims that Rabbi Tarfon was only talking about Shlemos
not number. Yeah, he said Schlossdung because someone talked about three, but that wasn't his point. He wasn't saying, I don't have a sheet about number. So Rabbi Tarfon might not have a sheet about number. Rabbi Shmuel, according to most who showed him, changed his mind and held you only need one. And Rabbi Kiva holds you need one. Halacha l'maisa, you only need one hadas shalom al Yisrael.
Rashi mentions that the people, when they were buying the hadasim, evakshim mikem shlosha hadasim u'shleimim.
Right, they were looking for three shleimim.
Is that one of these sheetot here? Or is that because they just wanted something real nice? I mean, who were they going to?
They were going to Rabbi Shmuel before he changed his mind.
In other words, we could add to that at first shleimim, three hadasim.
Yeah.
And to Rashi, three hadasim u'shleimim?
Yes, yes, yes. Three hadasim shleimim. Okay, by the way, how does Rashi hold? Does Rashi hold? There's a difference in Psak Halacha. What's our Psak Halacha? And Psak Halacha. One hadas or three hadasim. Anyone approve which side Rashi goes on? I mean, the Hagos Maimonides and Shmuel Elekid already proved. Which side does Rashi go on? Does Rashi need one hadas and hold? We really hold like Rabbi Akiva because Shmuel wouldn't lie. We really hold like Rabbi Akiva, or does Rashi hold three hadasim like Tosos? And no, we're just wondering if Shmuel was lying or telling the truth. And we said he must be telling the truth because if he was lying, why wouldn't he give the bigger threat? And the answer is Rabbi Tarfon is the biggest threat. Anyone want to prove from Rashi how we paskin? How many hadasim? Look at Rashi de Masal Lachari Tarfon, fifth less skinny line. Halachikari Tarfon, Lahakel, de Kotum Kosher. Halachikari Tarfon, to be make a Kotum is okay. What's Rashi saying here? That Rabbi Tarfon holds Kotum is okay? I mean, I knew that. Right? Rabbi Tarfon, Omer Afilu Shlostam Ptumim. That it's a kula to say Kotum is okay? I know it's a kula to say Kotum is okay. What's Rashi Amin? Halachikari Tarfon, Lahakel, de Kotum Kosher. So the Shibali Alekid and the Agos Maimonides and others are Radayik. Halach it's Rabbi Tarfon Lahakel, but Halach is not Rabbi Tarfon Lahachmir against this Ramban. Rabbi Tarfon was expressing an opinion about number and about Shlemus. He held Lahakel Kotum is Kasher, but Lahachmir you need three. We passed like him Lahakel that Kotum is Kasher, but we don't pass him like Lahachmir and you don't need three. That's very clear, right? Let's just say, here is what about Rabbi Tarfon? The Ramban says, what about Rabbi Tarfon? The Ramban says, what about Rabbi Tarfon? Rabbi Tarfon was really never expressing an opinion about number. And therefore, he also agrees. Says Rashi, the diok in the lashon of Rashi, which all the Rishonim makes, for Eleka makes that, Gosman Monius make it. He says very clearly. Not like it sounds like from Rashi. He doesn't explain what the diuk is, but it's clear what the diuk is. The diuk in Rashi is that Rabbi Tarfon Savar Dikotum Kosher, which is a kula, Uba'inan Gimel Hadasim, which is a chumra, Vahalacha Kemoso Lekula Velo Lechumra. So what about the fact that halacha k'rabbi Tarfon? It says this is what about Rabbi Tarfon. Halacha k'rabbi Tarfon. How is halacha k'rabbi Tarfon? Either halacha k'rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon was not expressing an opinion about number. Rabbi Tarfon was only expressing an opinion about shleimus, and you don't mean shleimus. Or Rash says, halacha k'rabbi Tarfon, he was expressing two opinions. Halacha is like one of his two opinions, and not like the other of his two opinions. So according to Ramban, halacha k'rabbi Tarfon, Ligamre, Kotum is kosher. According to Rashi, Halacha k'rabbi Tarfon, b'machlokas achas, v'lo b'machlokas acheres. Okay, two ways of explaining how you need one hadas, right? If we pass like Rabbi Kiva, maybe because Rabbi Shmuel agrees with him, how does that fit in Rabbi Tarfon? The answer is either Rabbi Tarfon was not getting involved. He said shloshtam, but lav davka. He was just talking on their wavelength. Or no, Rabbi Tarfon was involved, and we don't paskin like him. Oh, we paskin like him. Rashi said we paskin like him halfway, not the other halfway.
In fact, in the Masechet where it says tlasuk tumishkeach, that doesn't sound like three is daf, meaning three is under Rabbi Tarfon is daf. I mean, why say three? Because three is lav davka.
Okay, so here's the same thing that According to Rashi, that makes perfect sense.
No, I'm asking for the Ramban.
Ah, according to Ramban, what he meant was the words of Rabbi Tarfon, not necessarily the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon. He meant I will darshan the words of Rabbi Tarfon, shloshtam ketumen. He didn't mean the real sheet of Rabbi Tarfon. And we'll see why in a moment. We'll see why in a moment, Amir Sashem. Now, let's just analyze these tutsdadim for a moment. We have 2 minutes. Maybe that will be enough to analyze these tutsdadim, or at least as far as we can. The Ramban. According to the Ramban, what's the, here within the tzad of the Ramban, there's a big suffix in halacha lemaisa, how we paskin. How do we paskin then within the Ramban? So within the Ramban tzad, psak halacha. What's the psak halacha according to Ramban? What do you need to be yotze?
One
even katam. The Ramban, Ubeit Midrasho, meaning his Talmidim, the Ritva, and the Ra'ah, and etc. Not the Ran. The Ran rejects him. But the Ramban, the Ritva, the Ode is Afilu Chad Vikatam. So why didn't he just threaten Chad V'Katum? They said, should he threaten 3 Ketumim or 1 Shalim? Which the bigger threat? Just threaten the truth. The truth is Chad V'Katum. Why didn't he threaten the truth, which is more or less Eli Michel's Tasha? Right? So why didn't he just threaten the truth? Meaning, if you remember, there's no Hav Amina, right? There is no Hav Amina of him threatening Chad V'Katam. It's just, what's the bigger threat? Chad V'Shalem or Tosso Ketumim? Why not just threaten the truth? So what's the Ramban's answer? Heder Mitzvah, says the Ramban. He didn't want to give up on 2 Hidurei Mitzvah. Meaning, it's a hiddur to have shleiman. And it's a hiddur to have 3. For 2 different reasons. The hiddur of shleiman is for the hiddur of the hadas. The hiddur of 3 is for the noy of the lulav. Right? Because if the hiddur of 3 is just to add more, that would be called baltosef. Right? To add more of a mitzvah itself is baltosef. The hiddur of 3 is to be noy of the lulav. The hiddur of shleiman is to be noy of the hadas. So he says, I'll threaten to give up on 1 hiddur. I'm not going to give up on 2 hiddurim if not necessary. So he didn't want to give up on 2 Hidurim if it was not necessary. And here, it was only necessary to threaten to give up on 1 Hidur. The question is, which Hidur should he give up on? Okay, that's the Ramban. The Ravan has a very strange Shita. What's the strange Shita of the Ravan? Psak Halacha. The Ravan, what's the strange Shita of the Ravan? Exactly. Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Tarfon. You need 3 Bade Hadas, even if they're all Ketum Kari Tarfon. Or Chad V'lo Katam is kosher like Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't say Chad V'lo Katam is kosher. That Ravan is quoted by a lot of Rishonim, by the way. The Hagosa Shiri in the back here quotes. The Hagosa Shiri in the back here quotes from the Or Zeruah and the Rav Yah, who both paskin seemingly like this, Ravan. What does he say? Pasak Ravan Kuru Yakiva, the Avin Nami Chad V'lo Katam kosher, Ram Yorav Yah, the Nur Devarav, etc. And that's from the Or Zeruah. So the Ravan, quoting the Or Zeruah and the Rav Yah Negos Hashivi, he says differently. He doesn't say Chad V'lo Katam is kosher. He seems to say, and then it is Midoyak Be Maisa de Shmuel. Or not the Maisa de Shmuel, I mean the Gemara's analysis of the Maisa de Shmuel, right? Meduyak b'shak l'vatarya de sugyan. Right? He's not difficult like the Ramban. It says either gimel ketumim o chad v'shalim. Either a tarfon or a rekiva. You can't be making both of them at the same time. Chad, but not chad v'katum. Now here, this is a very difficult sheet to understand. It's an exceedingly difficult sheet to understand. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I understand it, right? The implication is clear, but not Chad V'Katam. Here it's very difficult because these are 2 different machlokos. Either you need 1 or you need 3. either we pass him in shleimim or you can have tumim. Like, it shouldn't be that three makes up for shleimus or shleimus makes up for three. It's a very strange sheet. Like, you mentioned, how do you pass him at the number one or three? How do you pass him about shleimus? Katam is kosher or katam is pasul? And then make up your mind. Like, how can it be? You're either allowed to have three ketumim, or you're allowed to have one shalim. How does a more number make up for a lack of shleimus, and shleimus make up for a lack of number?
Can't you have quality and quantity?
Yeah, but how does one make up for the other? For the Ramban, it's fine. You really need to have ketumim. But there's a hinder to have three, and a hinder to have shleimus. Two hiderim is the best if they make it cheap. If they raise their prices, we'll suffice with one hiderim. If we're desperate, we do no hiderim. But Eretz Shmuel thought it was enough to have one hiderim.
They're both cheap, doesn't it? They're both correct. It's not one mixed up for the other.
So here, I don't know what to say. I'll give you three pshatim, one of which will be more philosophically mechudesh, and I don't know. You'll tell me what you like. I have no idea. Either he really means the Ramban. This is dochuk. He really means chad v'katam is kasher. He just thinks you should try to be mahadir with at least one of these two hiderim. It's not what he says, right? He doesn't say that. Or that he thinks that it's a little funny. Like, if you have three shleimim, three ketumim, that says mahadir is one shalim. I don't really get it. Because, like, the hider of shalim is that it's a dover shalim. Is that somehow, you know, three broken is mehudr as if it was one shalim? Okay, I'm grasping at straws here. I said two things that are not true so far. Either he really means the Ramban that chad v'katam is kosher. He just wants to encourage us to be mahadr in our mitzvos, so he made it look like we need to do either Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Tarfon. Or he really thinks that some, if you have a lot, it makes up for it being broken, because you have so many and they look nice and you don't notice it's broken. Okay, when you have a lot, you don't notice that it's broken. Could be. Maybe I should write that here. Right? When you have three...
Is it that you don't notice it's broken, or it doesn't matter that it's broken?
I don't know. It doesn't look bad if it's broken. Right? That way I can be vague. It's just a little funny. Or maybe what he's saying here is just a tremendous chiddush. I don't really get it. I don't really get it. He's saying that, elu elu jivulim chayim. Rabbi Akiva held you need dafka shalom, but one. Right, tarfon hold you need dafka three baktumim. Elu elu jivulim chayim. You can follow whichever psak you want. It's just funny because usually we're paskin machlokas. We don't say you can follow whichever psak we want, but maybe you could say this is pluralism. Da'avid kamar of it. Da'avid kamar of it. Right. So maybe you could say it is da'avid kamar of it. Ovid kimar ovid. It's an expression of pluralism, right? Maybe right, not the Kotel Plaza. He says, look, both sheets are good. You can follow either sheet you want. The problem is that... Right, if he said that b'shas al-chak, I can handle it more. Kedai b'shas al-chak, to be so mechad, some shita. But he's not talking b'shas al-chak. He's talking about... Did he say the word Shasad Chak?
No, but doesn't matter. Shasad Chak, he's talking about doing the Takanas HaShukim.
No, not the Ravan. That's the Gemara, not the Ravan. The Ravan's talking about Stam. So the Ravan, I'm stymied. I understand where he's coming from in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't give an option of Chad Katam. The Ramban says, because we didn't want to do zero Hidur. We want to do at least one Hidur. But the Gemara says, either three Ketumim or one Shalim. So it must be either three Ketumim or one Shalim. But how do those two options make sense? So either he was just trying to tell you mahadir, or somehow it looks as nice with three ketumim as it does with one shalim, which is a big chiddush, or he somehow thought this machlokas is not paskin and elu ve'elu, and you could follow whichever shita you want, which is funny because that's not usually what we do when we have halach and shas. He would say it's not usually what I do either, but it's what Shmuel did. If he said it b'shas adchak, I can handle it, but he says it even shalom b'shas adchak. He says b'sak halacha. So the Ravan is still tzarich iyun b'svara. In terms of psak halacha, let's just chazer for a second. The Ramban, the Ritva, the Ode, say even chad v'katam. The Ravan says the strange psak. The other shita is Tosfos, v'ran, mi'iri, v'rambam. What are they all paskin? That, kerab tarfon, mamish, that you need gimel, Va'afilu ktumim, right? And the whole Rabbi Akiva was just saying he can lie to them. Okay, why can you lie to them? We'll have to get back to him, Eretz Hashem. Anyway, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? Everyone knows how we paskin. Well, you could say, I don't know, paskin halacha lemaisa, maybe we're mahadir. Right? Right, but halacha lemaisa, we paskin like the Rambam and Tosos that we don't really hold like Rabbi Akiva, and that you need three, not just as a hider for no lulav. You need three. That you really need three. That's the clear pshat of the Rambam. You need three, and it can be katum. What is the Rambam going to say about Rabbi Akiva? If you really need three, why would you threaten like Rabbi Akiva? Like Tosos, it was a threat. It was a lie. It wasn't the absolute truth. Okay, we'll have to come back. Amir Hashem, just finish up these inyanim. Next time, what I want to do next time is. I'm not going to, it's our last year before the Bein HaZmanim. We can learn the Mishnah of Esrog because we already discussed half the things in those Mishnah and we're not going to be ma'ayin the Mishnah until tomorrow. What I really want to be ma'ayin in is the question of what ketunin means.
Oh, the steer. The steer.
What is a had? Yes, what is a had that's katum?
You did three and four today. You
I know.
Go back to two.
That wasn't going back. That was saying I'm not going to discuss it yet. What is the Hadas Katum in the first place?
Okay.
Is it the same as Niktam Rosho? Is it not the same as Niktam Rosho? Look in both the Hilchos Lulav of the Ravid and the Hasagas the Ramban, they have a chapter called Inyan Niktam Rosho Shal Hadas, or Inyan Hadas Katum in the Ramban. That's the most important thing to learn. So start with the Ravid and the Ramban, Inyan Hadas Katum, and also look at the Rif and the Ran on our on Hadas Katum, and I'll send out the rest of the course in Mirza Shembli. Okay, Monday will be the last year.
We're not doing
We're going to do that also. We're going to stick that on Monday also. Yeah.